Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
August 29th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, custom white balance. Ooh, it sounds like a real sizzler when you first hear it, huh? Custom white balance. But actually, this is a really good show, and I think you're going to like it. Custom white balance. It is one of the white balance settings options that most of us have on our digital cameras. We have auto, we have cloudy, we have daylight, we have flash, on and on and on. And then down there at the bottom of the menu is the one that we never use, custom white balance. Why don't we normally use it? Well, there's a couple reasons why. One is, I'm not really sure how to use it. Second of all, I think I looked at the book, but I'm still not really sure how to use it. And third, hey, what the heck, I shoot raw anyway. I just leave it in auto, and then I can take care of it in post-production. Now, most of the time, auto works great. Really. I mean, these cameras are doggone smart these days, and auto white balance setting will do a very good job in most situations. Now, there are some times when it leaves a little to be desired. Some of those situations are when I'm shooting indoors and I'm using the light from a window to come in, auto white balance tends to be a little cool in that situation. And you don't really realize that until you compare it to a properly color balanced shot. So, you know, but it's a little cool. Shooting in open shade, a little cool. Shooting under weird factory lights or inside where you have artificial lighting, white balance setting can get fooled by that. Even shooting on a cloudy day. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've been shooting mostly with Canon these days, and, you know, they have the white balance setting for cloudy, but you know what? It's too orange for me. I don't know. How's it working out for you? For me, if I leave it on auto, it's the skin tones are a little too cool, which I don't like, a little too blue, cyan, But if I put it on cloudy, suddenly it's like they use this artificial suntan stuff, this fake copper tone stuff, and their skin turns kind of a weird orange. Well, I don't want that either. What I want is something that is healthy looking, is slightly warm, but is natural also. So I started thinking about this a while back and said, you know, I'm going to take a look at the color white balance setting again because I, too, had been passing it by. I, too, have been shooting raw and saying, what the heck, I'll fix it later. But you know what? I'm running out of time to fix things later. I've got so many shoots stacked up these days and, you know, weddings and portrait shoots and travel and all that kind of stuff. So what I'm thinking is I'm going to just shoot it right, which I've always tried to do anyway. But now even in terms of even getting the color balance absolutely right, I'm going to shoot it right, and then I'm just going to whip through post-production and get on to the next thing, make those big prints, make those web pages, do whatever the heck I want to do, and not be stuck doing the stuff I don't want to do, which is trying to figure out the correct color white balance for these doggone shots. And of course, that's not always easy because when you're working in most of these applications, working with RAW files or even JPEGs, you have two sliders you have to worry about. I mean, you have to figure out the color temperature, and then you have tint. And, you know, you can kind of get the one of them right, but then getting them both right, you know, to where it really looks good on a shot that doesn't have good color balance is a bit of a challenge. Now, most of us can do it, but, you know, it's a little fooling around there, and that is time spent on something that maybe you wouldn't have to do if you captured it right in the first place. Now, you know where I'm heading here. We're going to talk about capturing it right, and that's what I'm going to cover next. before I get to buttons and dials and all that good stuff, I want to take care of a little bit of the digital story business. First of all, August photo assignment. This is the last few days of the month, which means the last few days to get your shot in. I tell you, this is going to be the best one yet. I am so thrilled with the shots that are coming in right now. We have some folks that have been part of our virtual camera club for a while now submitting. We have some new folks who have just joined us recently. They're submitting, and you put all these shots together, and they're looking great. So if you want to be a part of this really good-looking gallery that's going to go up in early September, then get your photo assignment shot in by the end of August. The theme is red. That's the assignment, red. And there's been some very creative interpretations of that. Go to the submissions page on thedigitalstory.com. It'll tell you how to send in your photo and where to send it and all that sort of stuff. And while you're there, you can take a look at Grab Shots and My Favorite Lens, two of the other things that we have going on. Haven't the Grab Shots been pretty hot lately? I've really, really been enjoying them. So that's where you can find out where you can submit your Grab Shot. And of course, if you want to talk about a favorite lens, we'd love to hear about it. And there's the information for that there too. So anyway, just a few days left in August for red. If you're sitting on something or if you got a good idea, wrap it up and send it in and be a part of that gallery. The other thing I want to mention is the folks over at Photo Magico, Boink Software, who's our sponsor, who've been taking really good care of us. They've been real busy lately. They were at WWDC, as I mentioned, and that's Worldwide Developers Conference for Apple. And I mentioned a few shows ago that they were runner-up for an Apple Design Award. And they're working on all sorts of stuff right now. I just corresponded with Oliver, who's their CEO. And we had a good little chat. And I just wanted to thank them again for their sponsorship and for being a part of this. And to remind you, if you want the best slideshow software out there, take a look at Photo Magico. There's a tile right there on the Digital Story site that you can click on, and it'll take you right over to it. Okay, let's get to custom white balance. Now, I'm going to walk you through the procedure. I'm going to use a Canon Digital Rebel for this, but I've tried it on other cameras, including Nikon D200 and so forth, and it always works basically about the same. The idea is that what you want to do is measure the actual light that's going to be shining on your subject, measure its color temperature, calibrate your camera to that color temperature, and then shoot away. And you'll get results that are much more aligned to the type of light that's illuminating your subject. Now, when you open your little camera book, it usually tells you to go about it like this. What you do is you get a white sheet of paper and you hold it up so that the light, your main light, whatever your light source is for the shot that you want to take, is illuminating that sheet of paper. And then I usually take the focus on my camera and put the manual focus so it doesn't try to focus on the sheet of paper. And since it's white, you know what I usually do? I usually overexpose by a stop. Just to get a nice, clean, kind of white reading on that, bright reading. So I overexpose a little bit, although you might want to test it both ways, both without overexposing and, at regular exposure, and try it both ways and see what results you get. But either way, at normal exposure or overexposure, and then you take a picture of the white sheet and have the white fill up the whole frame. The thinking is here, then, the camera actually is taking a reading of the light, okay, the white balance, literally. Once you capture that information, then all you have to do is, first of all, put your camera back on autofocus before you forget, because that can be real annoying when you go to take the picture and it's not on autofocus anymore. So put your camera back on autofocus, go back to your menu, and there'll be another menu item there called Custom White Balance. And you open that menu item there, and it'll ask you to pick a picture for it to calibrate. Now, since the shot you just took of the white sheet of paper was the last shot you took, that's usually what's going to be right there on your screen. And you just say, use this last shot that I took. You know, you press the set button or the enter button or whatever. And the camera will say, now make sure you go change your white balance from whatever it is right now to custom. So you do that and then you shoot away. And the shots will be different. They'll be noticeably different. Do a test where you shoot, especially an indoor shot or something, but I've noticed it in a lot of different lighting settings. Take a few shots at auto, and then take a few shots at your custom white setting. Put them up on the computer, compare them, and most of the time, for a starting point or even as a finished product, you're going to like the custom white balance shot a lot easier. What am I saying? You're going to like it a lot better. And then, this is the way my brain works here, right? A lot easier. But now I'm going to show you a way that's a lot easier to do what I just described. A mind is such a terrible thing to waste, isn't it? Okay, so here's the thing. This procedure that I just outlined, and I just tested everything again with all these different ways I'm going to show you, works great. You know, you take a reading of the light bouncing off the white paper, and you set your custom white balance to it, and you shoot away. It works really well. The problem is it's kind of a hassle, right? Holding that white sheet of paper, filling the frame with it. It's too much work, quite frankly, and that's why I think a lot of people don't like it. So there are two other ways to get virtually the same results that are a lot easier. The next way I'm going to tell you, you use the same procedure that I just described, except instead of bouncing the light off a white sheet of paper, you get a coffee filter, just a regular old basket coffee filter. Don't get the cone coffee filter because it just doesn't work very well. Get the basket kind, you know, the Mr. Coffee filter. Put it over your lens and then point your lens. Make sure you're on manual focus again. Point your lens at the white, at the light source and take a shot. And then use that for your custom white balance setting. It works really well. Just a regular old coffee filter. Point it at the light source. Take a shot. Use that for your custom white balance setting and see what you think. Now, I compared it, that method, to bouncing it off the sheet of paper, and they were very similar, very similar. Both of them were better than auto, and I was testing them indoors using a window light coming in. Now, here's a problem with the coffee filter. It just doesn't look very cool, and I think a lot of being a hip photographer is kind of looking cool while you're doing your work, especially when you're working with subjects that are paying you money. You know, clients is what I tend to call them, customers. So running around with a coffee filter for a model shoot, it could be a very interesting point of conversation. But on the other hand, people might start thinking that you're just a little eccentric, shall we say. So I have a very professional way to do this also that makes you look very cool. Now, it's called the Expo Disc. It's one word, EXPODISC. And I'll have a link in the show notes to it. And I've also written an article recently about this. So I also put a link to the article on the O'Reilly Digital Media site about using the Expo Disc. Now, it's a little bit more sophisticated than the white sheet of paper and than the coffee filter. It looks like a nice, hefty filter. Nice ring, you know, metal ring. And you get it for the size of lens that you're using. What I usually do is recommend, if you're going to get one, get one that fits your largest lens, and then you can just hold it over your other smaller lenses. And it's on a nice blue lanyard that has a removable clasp. So you can just have it hanging around your neck. You look very sophisticated with it hanging there. And you do the same thing as a coffee filter. When you're ready to set your custom white balance, you put the Expo disc over your lens. It has this translucent white on one side and this honeycomb glass on the other. You make sure you're manual focus. You point it toward the light source. You take a shot, and then you use that for your custom white balance reading. It works really well. All three of these work really well. The Expo disc, I think, sometimes works exceptionally well. Plus, you look so good using it, which I think is a very important part of being a hip and cool photographer. So the Expo disc, white sheet of paper, coffee filter, all usually provide better results. Now, they don't always provide perfect results. Different cameras are calibrated different ways. Sometimes you might have a little bit of mixed lighting. In other words, you have two different types of light sources. In those instances, what I recommend is that you key off the main light source. Take a look at it. Use your Expo disc or your sheet of paper, whatever you're using. Take some shots and then look at them and see, well, maybe I have to aim where in between the two light sources and take your reading there. So sometimes you might want to play around a little bit with where you take your reading to get the absolute best results. Now, all of this is really great fun if you're a raw shooter, and I'll tell you why. One of the really great things about shooting raw, as I've mentioned in this show and other shows, is that you can delay decision making for which of the settings you want to use for white balance until you're at the computer. So by using the Expo disc, for example, what you really do is you create yet another white balance preset. So when you're in Adobe Camera Raw or Lightroom or Aperture, whatever you're using, and you pull up the image that you've captured in RAW mode using one of these methods, and you use the drop-down menu on color balance or white balance, you'll see, you know, all the usual ones. You'll see auto, cloudy, flash, fluorescent, yada, yada, yada. But the one that will be at the top of the list most of the time, and the one that will be selected when you upload your picture, is as shot. That's what it's called, as shot. And that is basically the setting that you used with your Expo disc to capture this wonderful, wonderfully rich white balance, color balance. So what's fun if you're a raw shooter is that, okay, so you have it there, but then you can just select auto on the drop-down menu, and you will be able to look at the shot as if you shot it in auto. And you can choose cloudy, and you can choose fluorescent or whatever. And you can flip back and forth among these white balance settings, looking at your image, and then pick the one that you like the best. Now, for most of the work that I do, I usually end up going with as shot, which is usually the Expo disc. I like using the Expo disc. I told you about the paper and the coffee filter because, you know, I didn't want you to have to go out and buy something that's $80, which that's, I think, what most of the Expo discs are, somewhere between $60 and $100, depending on what diameter that you get. Didn't want to force you to go out and have to buy something just to use custom white balance. So I told you about the paper and the coffee filter. However, since I'm so image conscious myself, I've been using the Expo disc when I'm out on shoots. So anyway, most of the time when I'm working in Lightroom or Aperture, I will choose the as shot, which is the Expo disc, and just be done with it. Every now and then it ends up being my starting point where I do a slight adjustment. And one of the things that I was actually talking to another photographer named John McDermott about this, who's also a big fan of the Expo Disc. And basically what John was saying, that the nice thing about using it is that it doesn't always provide perfect results, but it provides the closest to perfect results, which makes your adjustments a lot easier if you want to fine-tune it a bit. And a lot of times, I have to tell you, my fine-tuning with the Expo Disc isn't even changing the temperature or the tint. It's actually just backing the saturation off just a notch or two. The shots sometimes come in on my Canon cameras a little overly saturated. Even when I have, you know, saturation set to normal in my other settings. But with the Expo Disc, they'll come in very rich. And sometimes all I have to do is just back off the saturation a little bit, and I'm there. It's not that there's a problem with the color bounce. It was just that it was a little too intense. Now, another fun thing to do if you're shooting raw is that as you're switching among these different white balance settings, watch and see what happens to the tint and temperature sliders, because you'll see them moving around a lot. The Expo Disc shots or your coffee filter shots will actually affect both tint and temperature. The Expo Disc actually more than the others. And you can really see that, you know, it's not just, you know, making the shots warmer or cooler. It's making them warmer or cooler, and then, you know, more magenta or more green also. And it's moving both of those at the same time. So it's kind of a neat lesson to just experiment a little bit with this and sort of learn what the different temperature settings are for the different types of looks that you're seeing on your screen as you're looking at these different shots. And this is one of the things I just love this about digital photography. It's such a great way to learn about color temperature and exposure and all these different things, because you can actually look at numbers that are associated with how your image appears and go, wow, you know, 5900 degrees, or it's not degrees, 5900 Kelvin is a lot different than 6200 Kelvin. And 5500 Kelvin is definitely much different than 6500 Kelvin, and so forth. So, you know, not only is it great to get good shots easily, properly balanced shots easily, but it's also kind of fun to see the difference, you know, see what the readings are as you go from a warm shot to a cool shot, a shot that you really like to a shot that looks a little clammy. Okay, so now just a few caveats, just a few notes to keep in mind as you're playing with all of this. One is, you know, if you don't have a custom white balance setting for your camera, you're a little bit out of luck on this. The good news is that most cameras, especially most serious cameras, well, pretty much all serious cameras, but most cameras that are pretending to be serious, do have a custom white balance setting. And that includes a lot of compact cameras that are a little bit more on the sophisticated side. So probably the first thing you want to do is, you know, check your camera to make sure you do have a custom white balance setting, and then you can play with all these different techniques that we're talking about. The second thing is that I think this is even more important if you shoot JPEG and don't shoot RAW. The reason being that when you make white balance adjustments to a JPEG, then you're usually doing a destructive edit, and so there's a little bit of image degradation that happens as a result. So if you're shooting JPEG, you really do want to get it right in the camera, because your image adjustment's late. You don't want to fool around with it a whole lot in your image editor, because especially if it's a very important shot, because there will be a little image destruction there on those edits. So that's a great time to use one of these techniques that I've described if you are shooting JPEG. Also, if you're shooting JPEG, a lot of the newer digital SLRs have something called a white balance bracketing. Now, this isn't so necessary if you're shooting RAW, because, you know, when you have the RAW file in your image editor, you can actually look at all the different white balance settings and see the effect. But if you're shooting JPEG, of course, that's, you know, changing those white balance settings is destructive, whereas it is not non-destructive in RAW. But one thing that you might want to do, if you are shooting JPEG and you do have custom white balance, is do white balance bracketing. In other words, it's just like exposure bracketing, where you rip off a series of three shots at three different white balance settings. So you could have auto and your custom setting and, let's say, cloudy. Or you could just do two, I think, on most of them. And capture it at three white balance settings. And then back at your computer, you could decide which of the settings you like the best and use that shot and not have to fool around with it very much. Kind of a neat little hack, especially for JPEG shooting. So it's something to keep in mind. Again, I don't think it's so necessary with RAW. And probably my last tip here is do pay attention to exposure, because good exposure helps you get good color balance. So, you know, while you're setting up and using custom white balance or whatever, if your subject is really dark, remember that you might want to underexpose a half a stop or a stop or even a stop and a half. And if your subject is very bright, white, you know, sandy beach on a bright day kind of thing, then you might want to overexpose a little bit, half a stop or a stop or a stop and a half. So good exposure works together with good white balance settings to make a good shot. And that's really what we're talking about here, which is capturing good data. That way, when you upload your shoot to your computer, you can have more fun playing with your shots and spend less time trying to make them look good. And for me anyway, this has been just a huge improvement in my photography life, because I'm really enjoying the heck out of my photos right now. And in fact, I think that's what I'd like to do at the moment, is go play with some pictures. Maybe you have a few shots to work on. Maybe your photo assignment for August. And if not, and if it's a great day out there, go out and take some shots, and we will reconvene next week right here at thedigitalstory.com. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.